Well, good morning, Grace Church. It is so good to see everybody today. Tell somebody nearby you're glad to see them. You took on the wind and the rain and the seas and the oceans and the floods, and you made it to church, and you're going to be blessed. Thank you so much. Great to see you today. Those joining on live stream and Facebook Live, so glad you've chosen to be part of our service today. Amen. Just a couple of things before we move into our worship set. Let me remind you of Tuesday morning prayer this coming Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning right here in the sanctuary. If you can come be a part of that and help us pray, we wholeheartedly invite you to put that on your schedule. And then how many know that Easter is coming? It's getting close. We always know it's almost Easter when the last neighbor picks up their Christmas decorations. And so some of you are that neighbor, let's just be honest. But Easter is 2 weeks from today. And so a couple of special announcements. I want to let you know that next Sunday in the 11 o'clock service, we'll be partaking in communion together, preparing for Holy Week, preparing for Easter. And I am really looking forward to that time in the service. So prepare your hearts this week. Prepare yourself for communion next Sunday. And we're going to honor the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Amen. And then two Sundays from today, as I mentioned, will be Easter Sunday. Come out. We're going to have a great time at Grace Church for Easter Sunday. And then you probably saw an announcement come across your phone this week, but we have moved to a new online giving system called Servant Keeper Online. So navigate over to the website or to the app and click on sign up to set up your account. And if you have any questions, you can get with Sister Murphy on that. She'll be happy to help you set up with the new giving. Stand with me if you will this morning. It is great to be in the house of God. If you're going to worship the Lord, clap your hands to Jesus as the praise team comes to lead us in worship.
I was breathing, but not alive. You thought I was to die for. Acts 4:12 declares, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. I love the name of Jesus. I love the name of Jesus. It's the name of God. It's the name of our Savior. It's the name of our healer. It's the name of our Redeemer. And He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised here today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. We welcome everybody here today, all of our guests. Welcome, we're so glad you're here. Thank you so much for coming to worship with us here today at Grace Church. And we pray and trust that our service is a blessing to you. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. You may be seated for just a moment. Today has been absolutely amazing at Grace Church. And as the praise team started singing the very first song, something just swept over me and just had that feeling of just the, it's like God just breathed a big breath of air of His Spirit into this church. And it rumbled all over me, and I have a feeling that a lot of you felt the same way. Thank you, praise team, for taking us again beautifully, gracefully, and appropriately to the throne of grace today, that we could worship, that we could feel the beautiful manifest presence of God that sits in this room today. Let's clap our hands one more time to Jesus. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. It's always an amazing thing to see the gospel fulfilled in church, in the house of God. It should be, and it is. Love to see just the manifestation of God's presence in people's praise and worship. And two Sundays ago, we saw the ultimate manifestation of God's presence in somebody when Kelsey Massey was filled up with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like the Bible says. Peter declared, or the Bible declared in Acts chapter 2, that when the people in the upper room received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Jews spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2. The Samaritans spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 10. And Gentile people spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 16, I believe it was. And then even religious people, the disciples of John the Baptist, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues in Acts chapter 19. I'm thankful today when we measure a standard, if you will, for salvation. It's not a tradition that we follow. It's not what our parents did and our church of yesterday did. It's what the Bible says. The Bible said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that Peter said unto them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the Holy Ghost didn't fade away in the New Testament, as some have taught. It didn't go away. Speaking in tongues is not of the devil, as some people believe, but it is a manifestation of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. The Bible teaches very clearly. This happened to Kelsey two Sundays ago. I heard her speak in that heavenly language. Amen. And then today, she was baptized in water by immersion, as the Bible states, in the beautiful name of Jesus. Kelsey, would you come up here? Do you mind? God bless your heart. We're so thankful that her and her mom, Christy, have been coming to Grace Church now for a number of months. And we're so thankful that you were filled up with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Pretty cool, ain't it? Pretty neat. And then we saw you on the screen this morning as you were baptized on the camera. Everybody out here got to see that. So that was pretty awesome. And you heard this big woo when you went down in the water. So we're all very, very excited for you. And just all of your past is now gone and forgotten. It's amazing. It's pretty amazing. So we have a couple of certificates that we like to give everybody that's baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And this one is your baptismal certificate from today. We'll correct that. But this is for you. We'll give you an updated one, but keep this one until we do. so you'll never forget what happened today. And then this one says that you were filled with a beautiful baptism of the Holy Ghost Sunday before last. And again, we'll take care of that. So God bless you. And this is the beginning of a wonderful life, a wonderful relationship with Jesus, right? Amen. Thank you, Kelsey. Give her some appreciation. Thank you, Lord. I've been interested to know, and I know it's not appropriate to ask a lady how old they are. And there's another question that is inappropriate to ask a lady, I understand. And we won't even discuss that. But if you don't mind, Kelsey, how old are you? 13 years old, filled up with the beautiful name of Jesus, or the Holy Ghost, and baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus. Let's give Jesus some more appreciation. And if I may, Christy, we welcome you and your family, friends, the people that are with you today. Thank you all so very much for coming and witnessing this amazing, amazing occasion. This is not just for here in this life, but this is the pathway from here to eternity. And actually, Kelsey, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I was 12, and so close to your age. And that's been further ago than I like to remember. I received the Holy Ghost before we had computers and smartphones, and I received the Holy Ghost before we even had ATM machines. I mean, air conditioning in cars wasn't that new when I received the Holy Ghost. And so we're going back a ways. So it's been a few years. And it's real. It's amazing. It's powerful. It's sustaining. It's everything. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is amazing. Thank the Lord. Stand with me this morning, if you would. I want to read from John chapter 4. Brother Weber preached about how amazing the Holy Ghost is last Sunday. If you were not here, I would encourage you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I admonish you, if you will, to go back and watch that absolute masterpiece of a message straight from heaven. Again, thank you, praise team, for setting the stage today for the Word of God. John chapter 4, verse 19. This is Jesus conversing with the woman at the well of Samaria. Early on in his ministry, John chapter 4. The woman saith unto him, Sir, said unto Jesus, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Again, this was a Samaritan woman. Biblically, she was half Jew and half Gentile, if you will. Verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I want to preach to you for about 3 hours today. That's what I feel like, but I'm not going to do that today. I want to preach to you for a few minutes today, taking time to praise. Taking time to praise. Would you set your Bibles down and clap your hands to Jesus one more time? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Thank you for your patience in standing, and you may be seated. Andre Crouch, the very prolific singer and songwriter, I remember as in the 1970s, he was sang in the 60s and so on, but he wrote a song way back then that said, I just want to take a little time right now and thank the Lord for all that he's done for me. I just want to take a little time right now to thank the Lord for all that he's done for me. Let's do that right now. Let's thank the Lord. Shall we, everybody? Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. But I want to change the words just a little to say it this way. I just want to take a little time to praise the Lord for all he's done for me. There was another very prolific, very well-known songwriter, again, of the 70s, even the 80s, and so on. His name was Lanny Wolf. Wrote several hundred songs, sung by many, and so on. But he said one time he was in a church service, and there was a young man sitting on the front row of that service during the song, during the worship set, during the time people were singing and praising. Something happened to this young man, and he had lost his arm from his elbow down. He lost it from his elbow down, and he was clapping for all he was worth on the front row to all the singing, and it was like this. He was clapping. Of course, he was missing this part, and he was clapping with what remained of his arm, and it inspired Lanny Wolf, and he wrote a song titled, I'm Gonna Praise the Lord Any Way That I Can. I'm going to praise him any way that I can. So I think as Grace Church sits here today and we preach this sermon, we need to thank the Lord for all he's done for us. We need to take a little time and praise the Lord for all he's done for us and to do it any way that we can. Amen. He's a good God. He's a mighty God. And he is a wonderful God here today. Hallelujah. Thank you, and you may be seated. In John 4, in the scripture setting we just read, Jesus is having a conversation with a Samaritan woman at the well of Samaria. It's interesting to me that and we will find out in just a moment, how literally, according to Jesus revealing her lifestyle to her, how immoral she's been living, that she chooses to lecture Jesus about being judgmental and even prejudiced. Then in Jesus' sweet, amazing way, he listens to that and begins to draw her in unto him with amazing words of kindness, consideration, loving her, and so on. He very discreetly, in my opinion, exposes her sin and transgression, and after a short conversation about her morality or lack thereof, the woman now engages Jesus with somewhat of a self-righteous bent on worship. She did not get the who you should worship right, and she misunderstood the where you should worship part of it either. So needless to say, all the way around, this woman was just a little mixed up. Jesus amazingly reveals himself to her. This Jesus revealing himself to people so blatantly in the four Gospels very rarely occurred. But he says unto her, the person speaking to you right now is the Messiah. So he reveals himself to her and then reorients her thinking. I want everybody to listen today. The priority of worship is the who. The priority of worship is the who. It matters that you know who you worship. Everybody worships something. As humans, we all worship something. It could be a lifestyle. It could be some religious notion of the past. It could be your spouse, your children, your job, your car, your home, your possessions. It could be anything. Everybody worships something. So when you come to worship him, when you come to worship God, it is important to know who you worship. It's also important on how you worship, but the where of worship is not important. You can worship God anywhere. And one great point this, if you will, immoral, self-righteous woman missed was the how you worship. It's a challenge to get the how right when a person is living so deep in sin as this woman was. Again, do we worship in the Mount or in Jerusalem, she asked. It's not the where, but the who and how. The who is God, and the how is your attitude. The how is your attitude. It's the attitude of worship. So what is the attitude of a worshiper? The Bible said when you worship God with the right attitude, you're not coming condescending, you're not coming arrogant, you're not coming full of pride, you're coming as a human into the presence of God Almighty. When you recognize that, then your attitude or spirit is in line with what God looks for in people that worship Him, that praise Him. So you worship God in your spirit or your attitude, and then you worship God in truth. So God, everybody listen, sit up straight, both ears, feet on the floor, etc. You want to know why worship is so critical to God? You want to know why it's so important to God? I want everybody to hear this. The reason God looks for worshipers to worship Him with the right attitude, the right spirit, and then to worship Him in truth or with the proper knowledge of Him is because when you worship God, you are doing something for Him that He cannot do for Himself. God don't worship Himself. He don't get any fulfillment out of worshiping Himself. Hence why He created the whole entire human race. They were created to worship Him. And that's His source of fulfillment. You need to realize here today that there is more mention of worship in the Bible than there is about heaven, than there is about hell, and that there is about the rapture. It talks a lot about worship. The Bible commands us, notice this, at least 366 times to sing praises to the Lord. That is a song for every day of the year, including leap year. David took it a step further. He said in Psalm 119, 164, he said, seven times a day do I praise thee. Seven times a day. Seven times a day. It's interesting that Jesus was asked, should we forgive seven times a day? David said, I want to praise Him seven times a day. I want to praise Him in the morning, at mid-morning, at noon, at mid-afternoon, in the afternoon, after afternoon, before I go to bed. I want to praise Him because He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Somebody get on board with me here this morning. We're going to take a little time to praise the Lord today. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've heard people say, I haven't heard it recently, thank goodness, but I've heard people say, do we have to praise God so much in church? Well, I don't know how many times we've praised the Lord today. I don't know if it was seven or not. But if it's not seven, we've not praised the minimum, if you will. David said, I'll praise Him seven times a day. That's not maximum. That's minimum. What David said is God is complete in the praise of His people. That's why He is perfected in the praise of His people. He is truly given lordship by His people. He's given that place of deity by the worship He gets from His people that He redeemed. And David, bottom line, said, we can't worship and praise Him enough. We can't glorify Him enough. I'll tell you how much God wants to be praised when you get to heaven. That's going to be about kind of the main point. He wants to be worshipped by people he's redeemed for all of eternity. The Bible said in Revelation that there's angels standing around the throne right now saying, holy, 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 holy. He can't get enough. He can't get enough. So when we praise him, we're doing something for God that he cannot do for himself. And then the psalmist said in verse 65, great peace have they which love thy law. It's amazing when you praise him that much, you engage him that much. He gives you a great peace. They go together. So, Grace Church, we must learn again how to enjoy the presence of the Lord. We must not seek him only when we've sinned and when we need forgiveness. Or that we just come to him with our, when we're discouraged, or we just come to him with our problems, or we just need encouragement. There comes times when it's necessary, when it's healthy, for the people of God to enter into the presence of God and just say, today, I want to take a little time. I just want to take a little time to praise you right now. I just want to take a little time to praise you. David said, I'll praise him seven times a day. You'll notice when David later on was bringing the Ark of Covenant back into Jerusalem, you remember that? The Bible said they would take six paces, one, two, three, four, five, six. Stop, everybody. Thousands of people. Everybody stop. Everybody stop right here. Let's take a little time and praise the Lord. Let's take a little time and thank him for all of his blessings. Let's take a little time to give him all we've got and love him like nobody else can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, watch this. Watch this. Sit down. You just praised the Lord real good right there. One, two, three, four, five, six. Everybody stop. We're just going to take a little time to praise the Lord right now. Woo! Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hey, y'all just praise the Lord real good right there. Be seated. One, two, three, four, five, six. We're going to stop and take a little time. Hallelujah to God. Praise him. Take a little time and praise him. Take a little time and praise him. And praise him any way that you can. Hallelujah. 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 David proclaimed during that process, he said, the Ark of Covenant is not behind me in some yonder place of Zion. You listen to me today. You can praise God anywhere. His presence aren't in some yonder place somewhere, but he is here. He is here right now at this moment. The presence of God is in this room. So what does this mean? When I'm not feeling anything, I'm still going to stop and praise the Lord. Jonathan Adams, if you're watching right now, God knows where you are and he's got his hand on you. But when everything is not well, you have to just stop and praise the Lord anyhow. When your body is sick and hurting, you just stop and praise the Lord anyhow. When finances aren't good, you stop and praise him anyhow. When marriage isn't good, when the kids aren't good, you still stop and take a little time. Oh my. The psalmist said, great peace have they that love thy law. The psalmist said in Psalm 113, verse 3, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Lord George was one of Great Britain's prime ministers. But he was a man very short in stature. Some may call him vertically challenged. But he was a brilliant man. One day he was being interviewed by an American news reporter. And the reporter asked, "Are you Lord George?" He said, "Yes, I am." The reporter said, "Excuse me, but you're not very tall." Lord George responded and said, "In our country, we measure people from the neck up. How about if we as Pentecostals get our attitude right? Get our attitude right. Get our spirit right. Get our heart right. And get a right measure from the neck up. We're going to get it in our head that every now and then we just have to take a little time." Praise the Lord. So how does God measure Grace Church? Is it by the beauty of our campus? By how many people that's here today, our affluence? No, we're measured large in part by our attitude. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. It's not formality. It's not lip service. If you can discover that, you'll understand what real worship is all about. Kelsey, the infilling of the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that you have arrived, but rather it is a gateway. It is a beginning, the first step of your journey with God. I'll be 70 or 67 years old in a couple of months. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 12. Some of you mathematicians do the math on that. I've been in the way for many, many years, and y'all pray for me that I make it to the end, as the old testimonies used to go. I'm not in the way. I don't want to be in anybody's way. I want to be in a pathway between here and heaven. But my Holy Ghost experience, it's never gotten stale. It's never gotten old. It's never gotten wore out. It's not old-timey. It's not antique. It's as fresh right now as it was when I received it at age 12 years old. The baptism of the Holy Ghost has never been an end, but a beginning. It's a birth certificate, not a diploma. Sometimes we need to just stop and enjoy the presence of the Lord, to praise, to worship, to talk in tongues, to run, to dance, to shout, to rejoice. Sometimes we need our spirit filled. David did this 7 times a day. Paul took it a huge step further when he said, "I die every day." Okay, I'm not liking how this is going. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I want everybody to stand. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. And would you clap your hands and shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stay standing. Everybody stay standing. Everybody stay standing. A number of years ago, our sweet Dean Dykes was at Grace Church. She's since moved to Houston. But she had some physical issues. And she was older, being very respectful here. But I'll never forget that Sunday morning. Our young people ran the aisles like they did a few minutes ago. And all this is biblical. It's not weirdness. It's Bible. It's Bible. She took a little time to praise the Lord. But she also did it in any way that she could. And I'll never forget it. She was sitting right around there about where, maybe Brandy is sitting. And during the singing, I watched her just slowly. She was giving it all she had. In her heart and mind, she was running as fast as Braylon. He runs around this just like the wind. He just, it's buttery just watching him just glide. But she just very slowly. It took her a little while. It took longer than I'm doing it right now. But she was worshiping anytime, any way that she could. Could we give God that much today? All right. I'm taking your applause as approval. Some of you could run and shout and dance, but there's pride and all that stuff. So can we do this? Everybody, let's just give him a little bit right here. Come on, everybody. Everybody, you can do it. You turn around to look at people at church. Come on. Come on, somebody. Let him have his way. Let the Spirit of the Lord have his way. Praise him. Praise him any way that you can. Woo! Hallelujah! My God. Oh, my. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I'm trying to hurry. John chapter 14, verse 12. I want you to notice this. Notice this. Y'all catch your breath. And give me a minute to catch mine. Woo. Jesus said, verily, verily, listen, listen. This is important, important. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believes on me, the works, everybody say works, that I do shall he do also. And greater works, everybody say works, than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. I want to ask somebody, anybody here today, do you know anyone that has just come close, I mean real close, to duplicating Jesus in his ministry? I've known of a lot of people, men and women, that God has performed the miraculous through, but I don't know of anybody that I would call Jesus in our world today. But I know that the church has exceeded his works in quantity around the world. The Bible said if all the works that Jesus did, all of the things he did was recorded, the worlds couldn't contain the volume. But I believe the church worldwide, there is miracles and signs and wonders every day, every day. For the past 2,000 years. But I want you to follow me here for a minute. I don't know anybody but Jesus that's walked on water. I don't know of anybody but Jesus that's taken 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and fed 15,000 to 20,000 people with it, and then took more up at the end than he started with at the beginning. No one has ever duplicated him. But notice this writing in John 14:12. Notice it carefully. Jesus said that if we believe on him, the works that he does, we will do. Then he said, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. The second time, the word works is in italics in the King James Version, which means it was added when it was translated into English for clarification. Actually, the text reads, and greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Could it be that Jesus is saying that there is something else that is greater than his works? Could it be? In other words, is it possible that we can bring more glory to him as a church than all of his amazing, divinely performed miracles can bring to him? I believe it's possible that Jesus was saying that we as the church will do greater than him in quantity, but there will also be something else that we can do that he could not do, and that is praise him. I'm here to say that we should all stop often in our busy, hectic lives and enjoy the presence of the Lord. We must stop every day and give to Jesus something that he cannot give to himself. Rhea Cooper said here several weeks ago that psychologists have found that if people, secular psychologists will find, found that one of the great successes Christian people have with their mentality and emotions and all of that is because they praise the Lord so much. And they concluded that if people would stop and praise the Lord, worship Him, praise Him, she said this, at least 7 times a day, it would change their attitude. Psychologists have proven that. So we're not here today to compete with each other as to who is the most like Jesus. I'm not here to compete with other churches to see who represents Jesus the best or the most. I'm not here trying to outgive, outperform, outpray, outserve, none of that, anybody. I'm not here to outpray or outfast anyone else. I'm not keeping score on who has had the most miracles in their ministry. But again, I am here to say that we should stop every day and take a little time to praise the Lord. When Jesus was on the cross, He said, "It is finished." The veil was torn in two. In the Old Testament, less than 100 men got to go beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies that I taught this morning in the adult class and enjoy the presence of the Lord, to be swept away by the beauty and splendor of truly being in Him. The rest were spectators. But today, all of us, everybody here today, can come into the presence of the Lord. What one man did once a year in the Old Testament, we can do it virtually at will, because the Bible said we can come boldly under the throne of grace, where we obtain mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody can enjoy the presence of the Lord. Anybody can enjoy the presence of God. When you wake up in the morning, eat lunch at dinner time, before you go to bed, you stop for a moment and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Brother Rex Johnson, some of you may remember him. Great preacher. Great preacher. He told a story years and years ago. Kelsey, I thought about you when I read this week. He said there was a lady that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in other tongues, in the church he pastored. Her sister, this woman's sister, went to another person in the church and said, "My sister got Holy Ghosted today." You know where I'm going with this. There's a whole lot of people sitting here today, a lot of people here today. You need to get Holy Ghosted again. It's been a while. Could somebody go home and tell a family member that said Sister So-and-so got Holy Ghosted again today? A man got Holy Ghosted again today. God, I want to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And it'll happen if we praise Him. Get out of your skepticism and pride and tradition. Forget about your failures. Nobody's ever perfect. Why don't you say that I'm going to bless the Lord today with all that is in within me. And before I leave, I'm going to testify that I got Holy Ghosted today. I got Holy Ghosted today. The Japanese believe that when you praise God, you create a seat in your life for Him to sit in. So if you want God in you, praise Him and tell Him to come have a seat in my life. I'm almost done. I started in this a moment ago, but I just can't. I hope I don't kill the whole thing, but I can't stop right here. Job said in Job 36, verse 26, "Behold, God is great, and we know Him not. Neither can the number of His years be searched out. For He maketh small drops of water rain." He makes rain. He makes the rain. "They pour down according to the vapor thereof." In other words, it can't rain more than what the sun can evaporate. So if you need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in your life, give God something that He can evaporate out of your life. Let Him take a little sin out. Let Him take a little worldliness out. Let Him take a little humanity out. Let it go all the way up to heaven. And when it comes back down, my friend, it's going to come down as a divine manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's going to pour out of your mouth in another language that you've never heard of. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, my. Now, I'm going to get a little bit silly. Sit down. There's a lot of people not familiar with the Bible. I'm not making fun of anybody. But when they see the word Job, they pronounce it Job. And I understand that. If you don't know, you don't know. So the word Job in our English language can be pronounced Job, which is work and labor. Sometimes praise is a job before it becomes a joy. I've had moments where praise started out as a job, as labor. It's a chore. But after a little while, the vapor goes up and rain starts coming down. And I've never ended a prayer meeting on a sour note. I've never walked out disappointed that God didn't show up. I've never had a moment where God didn't engage my worship and praise. I'm here to tell you today, if you want God in your life, take some time. Job describes a cycle of rain. According to Job, the amount of rain is determined by the amount of vapor. So if you want more of the manifest presence of God in your life, praise Him more, love Him more, worship Him more. Jesus worshiped. The Bible said Jesus leaped for joy. I wanted to have everybody stand up and do that, but I don't want to push the limit here today. I didn't get everybody around going around in a circle either. But I'll say again, as I've said many times, we must learn to praise and worship, no matter what. Your relationship with God is not determined by circumstances and feelings. It's determined by knowledge. I know Him, so therefore, I praise Him. All right, here's my message, and I'm bringing it in for a landing. Sorry for the long introduction, but I want you to watch this. This is what happens when you praise. This is what you get. When you praise, this is what you should get if you have the right attitude. When you worship Him in the right spirit and in truth, this is what should happen. Watch this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell about the Mount of Transfiguration. It's where Jesus was transfigured before them. If you will, the flesh of Jesus, the best way I know to explain it is the flesh of Jesus on Mount of Transfiguration just kind of went invisible. And they could see the contents of Jesus, what was on the inside of Him. The Bible said they saw no man save Jesus only. It seemed that before this, Jesus was continually being criticized, mocked, questioned, badgered by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the other religious groups of that day, along with all the lies and hypocrisy that came from King Herod. And no doubt all of these people had to have gotten on Jesus' last nerve. And He reached a point where it was time to shove all of that aside and go somewhere where He could just be enjoy being in the presence of His Father. He didn't take all 12 disciples with Him. He only took 3. Peter, James, and John. Y'all follow me. He's on Mount Transfiguration, and He has with Him, literally, Peter, James, and John. I guess the other 9... maybe they were hurt. Their feelings was hurt. Why didn't He take us? But I don't believe they were at a place mentally, spiritually, they didn't have their attitude right, where they could absorb what was about to happen on the Mount of Transfiguration. So here is Jesus engaging the presence of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. His flesh becomes invisible, if you will. I don't know how else to explain it. And we don't like to think that Jesus worshiped. I don't believe it's, well, I'm not talking about a 3-God Trinity here today where God worships God. Jesus prayed on the cross. I don't believe God prays to God. But He worshiped. His flesh, His humanity worshiped the divine presence on the inside of Him. So he said, I want to go somewhere where I can be in the presence of my Father, and I'm going to bring Peter, James, and John with me. So notice that when He started enjoying the presence of God, there were 2 other men that showed up. on the Mount of Turkey. This is going to get kind of spooky and weird. I get it. But the Bible said that Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah standing with Jesus. I get it. Moses has been dead 3,000+ years. Elijah's been gone off the scene for over 1,000 years, and now they show up. But this is what you get when you praise. This is what you get when you absorb yourself in the presence of God. First of all, Moses, the mighty deliverer, the lawgiver, represents the law given on Sinai, government, provision, many signs and wonders. And he leads the children of Israel out of bondage into their promised land. He does that. They cross the Red Sea, the Jordan River, which is a type of water baptism. When you start praying, this is one of the things that shows up. The law, the power, the word, and majesty of God shows up when you praise him. Moses was an Old Testament representative of the law of God. Elijah stood there in spirit form, the miracle worker that made the heavens close up and give no rain and defied the prophets of Baal. Elijah was powerful in his ministry. He did things that was hardly even believable. But when you praise God, you get law and you get the miraculous. Let's keep going. The Bible said when Moses and Elijah showed up, a cloud appeared. It's the presence of God. It's the glory of God. So that envelops you. Moses, Elijah, the presence of God. Peter was there. Peter's the one that preached the day of Pentecost and told everybody, men everywhere, that the promise is unto you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was explained by Peter, that it was for everyone. This is the one whose shadow passed over people and they were healed. This is what shows up when you praise him. It's apostolic power. It's apostolic authority. It's apostolic miracles. James was there, the great apostle and pastor in Jerusalem. It is said that the church in Jerusalem had over 87,000 members and attenders. James represented government and pastor and apostle. He was a peacemaker and the wise one. You need counsel? You need advice? This is what shows up when you praise him. John was there, the one that Jesus loved. He was a revelator. He's the one that wrote the book of Revelation. He has an understanding of the future like nobody else did. When you praise him, that shows up. So when you get tired and discouraged and fearful about tomorrow, when you get to a place where you can push things aside for a little while and begin to praise and begin to rest in the presence of the Lord, there's five things that has the potential of showing up, and they all represent the grace of God. The Old Testament presence shows up. The New Testament presence shows up. The apostolic authority shows up. All of these things show up. Remember Job? You've got to send something up if you expect something to come down. I've had my share of hard times. You've heard my story. Most everybody here today has heard my story. And I've not had it as bad as other people have, but I've had my share of difficulties. I've had some trivial things that drives me crazy, and I've had some really challenging things that are burdensome and so heavy. Anything from a man clipping his toenails during church, all the way to having a church split and losing one-third of our church in 2 weeks' time. As a pastor, I buried my mother. I had to say goodbye to some really amazing people, like Sister Landry's dad, like Brother Bob Thompson, Mary Edwards, our beloved brother and sister Alexander, my father-in-law, and others. We've just come through 2 years and 7 months of sheer heartbreak, watching the bunches go through the situation with St. Jude and so on. We stood shoulder to shoulder with the Wheelers as they had to say goodbye to their amazing son, Josh, who was hit by a drunk driver. I've lost people from Grace Church. I've watched helplessly as people backslide and walk away from God. I've walked together with couples as they fight for their marriage and their family. I've encouraged many people as they've gone through financial pressure of joblessness and even the flood of 2016 and COVID and all of that stuff. But I've also learned that there comes a time in everybody's life when you have to shove it all aside. Have to shove it all aside, Mike and Sheila. You have to shove it all aside and praise Him. Just enjoy the presence of God. You say all of that happens when you praise and worship. You have no idea. How do you think I make it? I know people think the life of a preacher is perfect. You have no idea. I would challenge anybody in this room to sit behind my desk for a month. You wouldn't make it. You wouldn't last. The writer said, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, there's pleasure forevermore. The writer said that weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I want to invite someone here today into the presence of God right now. Jesus said it this way one time. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Stand with me this morning. Sister Murph and I have been through some challenging times. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 31, verse 12, "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow anymore at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy and comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow." Praise, ladies and gentlemen, can get you out of sadness and discouragement and depression and heartbreak. Being in His presence, praising Him, brings hope and promise of a better tomorrow. It brings hope. Cigarettes, drugs, alcohol, none of that. None of that competes. None of that's even close. It's the devil's best substitute for the presence of God, and it falls way short what God does. I've seen men and women on their deathbed taking their last breath and using it to praise the Lord one more time before they exit their body here and join Him there. It's the value of praise. So, does anybody have a moment here today to praise the Lord? Does anybody have a little time? Just 5 minutes. 5 minutes to praise Him. As they begin to sing, would you come gather as a church body? All of our guests, everybody, you're welcome. Everybody's welcome to come. Just stand up here. Nobody's going to embarrass you, put you on the spot about nothing. Just everybody come and let's take a little time and praise Him. Everybody come. Let's take a little time. Everybody praise.
Soul. Praise Victory dance, I will dance out.